You're listening to a Cripple and Co. production.
This episode of Disability After Dark has been brought to you by ClonaWilly.com. ClonaWilly and ClonaPussy are do-it-yourself molding kits that allow anyone to make an exact replica of any penis or vulva into a sex toy at home. So if you go to clonawilly.com and you use the code Andrew Gerza, so just spell my whole name, at checkout you can get the ClonaWilly or ClonaPussy kit and anything else site-wide at 20% off. Wow, this is a deal that cannot be cloned. I have been in contact with my friend Victoria over there, and they're so friendly, they're so kind, they really want to make sure that if you want to create your own ClonaWilly or ClonaPussy molding kit of your own body, they want to make it accessible for you, they want to listen to your questions, they want to help you where they can. So if this is something you're interested in, please head over to ClonaWilly.com and use my promo code Andrew Gerza right now to get 20% off site-wide. Thanks again to ClonaWilly for sponsoring this episode. This episode of Disability After Dark has been brought to you by Come As You Are. Come As You Are is Canada's only worker-owned co-op sex shop. Trans-owned and operated, Come As You Are carefully reviews and curates their selection of sex toys, books, and DVDs. Now you can get 15% off your next purchase at comeasyouare.com using coupon code AFTERDARK. Content warning. The language, content, and discussion found within this episode of Disability After Dark will be explicit. Listener discretion advised.
This is a podcast that looks at disability stories. It's like sitting down with a really close friend to have a real conversation about disability, sexuality, and everything else about the disability experience that we don't talk about. The things about being disabled, we keep in the dark. Here is your deliciously disabled host, disability awareness consultant, Andrew Gerza.
Well, hello there, friends, and welcome to this brand new episode of Disability After Dark, the podcast shining a bright light on your disability stories. I am your delectably disabled daddy host. Let us get comfy, cozy, and crippled, and get this episode started, shall we? You know what I realized? I didn't even say my name there. I am your host, Andrew Gerza. Hello, welcome, welcome, welcome. I am feeling pretty good about today because I'm actually not procrastinating. I'm doing a couple episodes ahead. Well, really only one episode ahead. But still, I'm still doing it. Good for me. Please clap. Because sometimes I wait till the very last second to get these things up. And I feel pretty good that I'm a week ahead. Feel pretty solid and happy about that. That I'm actually taking the initiative and not simply watching yet another episode of a murder mystery show. I'm actually doing my job. Good for me. Please clap. Yay. But you, all those with disabilities know how hard it is sometimes to have the energy to do stuff. And I find that I'm getting, the more and more I have attendant care and more I have people taking care of me, I feel like spending time with attendant care workers, while they're lovely, they're great people, I feel like that is also very, very taxing and very, very tiring on my body. So after I spend an hour and a half with them in the morning, and then another hour at lunch, and then another hour at dinner, and then another hour at bed. After I spend about 5 hours a day with them, I'm kind of tired, so it makes it hard for me to want to do actual other work. But here we are. I'm so excited to be bringing this brand new episode to you. Let's crack on into it. For today on the pod, we have no guests with us. I thought we'd do a cozy, comfy, relaxing, like, just you and me hanging out kind of episode, because I just wanted to do one where you and me were hanging out and we were just having a good old chat about stuff. And I thought I would want to do one of my favorite things on this show, or not just on this show, just generally. Do you remember a couple years ago when I did an episode all about the history of the wheelchair? We learned that wheelchairs were typically reserved for royalty and cool people back then. And then if you go back far enough, the first wheelbarrow. Oh, no, I wrote that wrong. If you go back far enough into history, the first wheelchair was actually a wheelbarrow. And I remember thinking how cool that was, that people were using wheelbarrows to get around for mobility aids. Like, given that many people didn't have stuff back then, that's pretty innovative and pretty cool. If you want to go back and listen to that episode all about the history of the wheelchair, it is episode 105, which we recorded, almost 4 years ago now. Wow. I think even more, even longer than that. But if you want to learn all about the wheelchair, you can go listen to that episode. Today on the show, I wanted to look at another mobility aid that I wanted to learn more about myself, because I talk a lot about my experience in a wheelchair here and as a wheelchair user, but I think it's important that I and we as a community of people with disabilities branch out and look at other mobility aids and how important they are. So I wanted to learn about something that I once had when I was a kid. I wanted to learn more about the history of something that so many people use, the walker, or in British English, it's also known as a walking frame. And sometimes, because of brand names, it's known as a Zimmer, because somebody named Zimmer manufactured one, so it has a lot of different names. Walker, walking frame, Zimmer, rollator, a bunch of different names for these devices. But I wanted to learn more about them. When I was a kid, my memory of having a walker is really vivid, and I'll share it with you here. When I was a kid, one of my therapies, my physiotherapy, was to use a walker to walk up and down my hallway. And my grandmother, rest in peace, my grandmother Dot, used to bring me over to her house, and I used to go in the walker, and I was so angry at her for making me walk. I would say mean things to her. I was such a little bratty kid. So that's one memory I have of a walker. I hated it, and I did not want my grandmother to make me use this walker. I was like, no, you won't. No, you won't. I was so angry, and you can imagine, well, just wait for the siren to stop going. I don't know if you can hear that, but, and I think it's gone. So yeah, my grandmother used to make me use a walker, and I couldn't. I hated it because I could never walk properly because my hips were never straight and I never liked doing it. So I think of that. But I also think of one core memory of when I was 7 or 8 years old. My mom used to make me go up and down the hallway with the walker. And the way that she made me do it was she made me put on a fedora, put on like fancy clothes, put on like a scarf. I remember there's a picture of me with the fedora, a scarf, standing in my walker, and I'm dancing to Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson. And that's a memory of mine that I don't know if I told the story in here, I don't think I did, but it's a memory of mine that I'll never forget having, because I loved Michael Jackson as a kid, and that's what made me want to use my walker. And so I just remember being like, wow, this was such a core memory of me being in a walker, dancing to Michael Jackson. But I want to learn more about the walker and people who use walkers. I want to learn, where did the walker come from? Was it reserved for royalty too? So let's roll on it. Let's roll it on into that, friends, and get comfy, cozy, and crippled, and let's go into it. So let's go into it then. Okay, just going to pull up my notes here. So first, I want to look at how many people worldwide, let's try again. How many people worldwide use walkers, walking frames, and rollators? I couldn't find the worldwide number of people using walkers as their main mobility aid. But in the United States alone, the number of walker users, and I wondered here, is it walker user like wheelchair user, or what is the correct term? Do we like walker user? if you're a person using a walker, write me and tell me what is the correct terminology. So the number of people using walkers in the United States alone is 4,094,000, or roughly 11.6% of the U.S. population. That's a whole lot of people, friends. That's a lot of folks. I also found out when I was doing my research, and I literally, by research, let me be very clear, I didn't do any, like, academic scholarly research. I typed things into Google, so that's what we were doing. The gimp who Googles is who I am, really. I didn't do any proper research, but I also found that the worldwide walker industry was valued in 2021 at about $2.2 billion and is expected to grow by 7.1% by 2030, which is only 6 years away, if we can all believe it. Wow, that's terrifying. Makes me feel really old. So given those numbers, that is a whole lot of people who need and who will need walking aids. That's so many folks. And this means and shows us that they are pretty common and they are a necessary mobility aid. And in my opinion, they are right up there with popularity, just like our friend the wheelchair was. Typically, when we think of disabilities, we see the image of the wheelchair all the time, but we don't see imagery of a walker, and maybe we should. Maybe we need to have some imagery just for walker users, because we need people to see how valuable and important they are. So then, let's take a look at the kinds of disabilities that people who use a walking frame or a walker or a rollator or a Zimmer or whatever you want to call it, what kinds of disabilities people have who might need a walker. And some of the things I read are very interesting. I read that people with arthritis might need walkers because their joints are sore. That makes sense. I read people with Parkinson's disease often need walkers because their joints are sore and they have jerky movements sometimes and spasms where they require this kind of stuff. I read that people with Alzheimer's often need walkers because they will often, in states of confusion, fall down and hurt themselves or be unable to know what's happening, and a walker helps them to stay guided is something that I read. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. People with cerebral palsy often use walkers. I know a lot of folks with CP who use K walkers and walkers. My friend Jamie, who used to run the Cripple Threat podcast, also uses a walker. And we used, you know what? When I'm gonna out myself here. When we were in college, we used to joke with him because he used to walk all the time, and he still walks all the time. We used to joke with him that he should just get a wheelchair. But I'm really happy that he finds comfort in his walker. There are also people with multiple sclerosis who use walkers, and people with a lot of different respiratory conditions. And one of the more current disabilities that I think is important that we talk about with respect to mobility aids, a lot of people who are experiencing long COVID are dealing with and using walkers. So I think that as more people contract COVID, please fucking wear your masks. Please fucking do your best to mask for us. I say this again. Please don't go out to big events if you can avoid it. Take care of each other. But the more and more people contract COVID, the more and more they're going to need mobility aids like a walker. And the list continues on like that. But those are some of the main ones that I think people contend with. who need walkers. One of the things that I found in an article that I was reading when I was doing Googling for this, because we can't call it research, it's Googling. When I was doing Googling for this, I found out something that I didn't see in a lot of other articles when we talk about the walker, and that is that many people consider that the walking frame is a mobility aid that promotes rest. And I thought this was so important because when we think of mobility aids and the way they're marketed to us, we often think of wheelchairs as things that give us freedom to go, things that give us freedom to explore the world. And walkers do the same thing, but I found it very necessary that this one article, and really it was just one article if I'm honest, this one article in the Google said that the walker promotes rest. And we don't do that enough. We have to realize and talk about that it's okay for a disabled person to stop and rest. And I thought that was such a valuable way of posing the walker as a mobility aid that promotes rest. I loved it so much. That's pretty awesome. So whenever you see somebody in their walker and they're not walking and they're just resting on it, they're using the mobility aid as they're supposed to. That's pretty cool. But now let's jump into a little bit of the history of the walker, the walking frame, the Zimmer, the rollator itself. When I first typed in the history of the walker into Google, because I wanted to see what was going to come up, when I first typed it in, I got this quote. It came up with this immediately. Walkers started appearing in the early 1950s. And immediately I was like, what the hell? What do you mean they just started appearing? As if like they just came out of the sky and just, oh, there's a walker. Oh, wow, there it is. Like, well, okay, what? The first U.S. patent was awarded in 1953 to William Cribbs Robb of Stretford, UK, for a device called a walking aid, which had been filed with the British Patent Office in 1949. So they've been manufactured in and around 1949 as the kind of walker that we know today. But of course, you know that we can't leave it there. What a short episode if we did that. I want to dive a little deeper into the history of the walker. Just because you got a patent for something in the 1950s doesn't mean that all of a sudden out of the sky, a walker just appeared. That's not how this works. In fact, there might be some evidence to suggest that the walking frame has been around for thousands of years. One source that I read said there was evidence of a walker being represented in a terracotta figurine from the 1st or 2nd century. How fucking cool is that? That's pretty awesome. Like, I tried to look up a picture of the figurine and I couldn't find it, but I would love to see a picture of that. The article that I read that said there was a figurine with somebody using a walker also gave a really cheesy dad joke. And because I sometimes lovingly refer to myself as your disabled daddy, I feel the need to repeat this dad joke for you today. They said that it gives a whole new meaning to the term walk like an Egyptian. Wow, what a crappy, crappy joke. But all bad jokes aside, this does highlight that for thousands of years, people have looked at walkers as something that is essential to our movement, to getting around, an aid to help somebody that is necessary. And I also found out that there might even be a somewhat biblical connection to the walker. In the 15th century, the year 1480 to be precise, a painter by the name of Hieronymus Bosch painted a painting called Christ Child with a Walking Frame. And it's part of an altarpiece by Netherland artist Hieronymus Bosch, which depicts possibly Christ, possibly the Virgin Mary, or possibly Joseph learning how to walk with a walking frame. And it's a very odd photo because the baby is naked. And you're not sure who it is, but he's very clearly holding on to something that looks like a walker. He's holding on to a frame and moving himself along. And it's really, really cool that this is out there because it shows us that walking frames are important parts of history. Even if Christ didn't actually use a walking frame, the fact that this is put on there and put in there is really, really so, so important. And this image, Christ Child with a Walking Frame, is at the Kunsthistorisches Museum, the Museum of Art History in Vienna, Austria, if you want to go see it right now. Or you could just Google it like me and see what I'm looking at. And I think that the imagery of Christ using a walking frame as a baby is pretty cool, but I think it would have been more impactful to have Christ as a young man use the walker to show people that people of every age need this kind of mobility aid. I would have liked to have seen Christ at the age of like 28, 29 use a walking aid. I think that would have been a much more impactful photo. But if anybody wants to redo that photo or redo that painting, paint that. That'd be so cool. I'd love to see that. I also noted that in medieval times, another form of medieval mobility with a modern parallel to the walking frame was called a hand trestle. And this sort of looks like if you took a step stool and you put wheels on it with a frame that somebody could hold their hands onto. The image that I'm looking at is of a medieval man holding on to this frame with his upper body and wheeling himself around while his lower body is dragged behind him. So not necessarily like a walker, but a pretty close cousin of the walker. It was like a Roomba for your arms, basically, but you dragged it around. So that's pretty cool. And the fact that it is something that we would see in photos from medieval times is also really, really important. I couldn't find any evidence of any royals using walkers from way back then. And I looked and looked. I saw a lot of imagery of people from plague times using canes and crutches and different kinds of things. But I couldn't find any kings or queens using walkers. But of course, that doesn't mean that that wasn't true and it didn't happen. Of course they did. We just didn't have records of that from what I saw. I mean, I'm sure there are records somewhere, but a quick Google did not give me those records. But I did find evidence that our beloved Queen Elizabeth II, may she rest in peace. Peace, question mark. Not sure how I feel about her legacy, but I liked Claire Foy from The Crown, so that's as far as I'll go. I read that Queen Elizabeth II sometime used a walking stick to get around near the end of her life when she was around, I think, in her mid-80s to mid-90s. She sometimes used a walking stick. But she didn't like for that to be shown in public because she didn't want people, and I'm presuming here, but I'm presuming that she felt wary that people would think that the British monarchy was weak. And so she didn't want people to see her as a weak figure. You know, because the Brits have this stupid thing about their monarchy being all about strength and all about British power, blah, 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 that bullshit. And so I say, why shouldn't Her Majesty have used a walker or a wheelchair? And I say again, mobility aids are not signs of weakness. They are signs of power. Well, not even power. They're signs of just they are. They're neutral devices used to help us get around. And we need to start seeing them that way. I also found a picture of a wheeled walking frame, which I thought was really cool, from 1901 to 1930. And it was manufactured by Carter's in London. And it's kind of looks like a unicycle with, well, let me pull up a picture and I'll describe it to you. It looks like it's got two big wheels at the back of it, kind of like you would on a tricycle, and one wheel, smaller wheel at the front, with two little armrests at the front and a frame that you can hang on to. Yeah, it looks like if a 19th century bicycle were made into a standing frame, if that makes sense. But this was manufactured from 1901 to 1930, highlighting again that people with disabilities have been around forever and needed to get around. And I think that's it's a really cool image. I love seeing stuff like this. But a lot of people use, let me read the description to you. It was called A Wheel Walking Frame by Carter's in London from 1901 to 1930. And adults used the three-wheeled walking frame with solid rubber tires. It has also padded leather rests to support the patient under the arms while they are walked. Walking aids such as this led to today's modern compact walking frames, which are used by the elderly or people recovering from accident or injury, or just the disabled. The disabled, you can say disabled people use them too. It's fine. I promise you. And apparently this walking frame was also supplied to, well, or no, this manufacturer also supplied things to the royal family. So I'm sure somebody in the royal family used a walker somewhere. That's pretty cool and pretty important. And again, highlights my thoughts that only the most royal people use mobility aids. Yep, I said it here. That's what I said. That's the truth. I couldn't really find anything else about the walker. I found out that the modern walker that we use today, like I said from earlier, was manufactured in the 50s, but things like the rollators and all those newer ones kind of came out to be popularity in the 70s. And the common walker that we see today, yeah, was really started being manufactured in the 70s. But as I was looking for royalty and people that use walkers, I found a really funny article from 2020 of celebrities using knee walkers, which is like a rollator basically. And I wanted to share some celebrities that I found who have used walkers in the past. The singer of the classic Do You Think I'm Sexy, the esteemed Rod Stewart, used a knee walker when he hurt himself a couple years back. And yes, Rod, I do think you look really sexy in your rollator. So if ever you're using a rollator and you want to feel sexy, just play Do You Think I'm Sexy by Rod Stewart, because he actually used one. So if you're ever like, people don't think I'm hot, play that song when you're in your walker. Do it. Or you could do like I did and play, if you have trouble walking, just play Moonwalker, or play Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson over and over again. And then another celebrity that used a rollator was our friend Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell. AC Slater was in a rollator when he hurt himself. And then I think I saw, was it, let me see who else, another celebrity who used, okay. Oh, I don't want to say this one. I'll say it, but I'm going to give my commentary as I say it. Ricky Gervais used a rollator. I don't think I want to give him any accolades, but he was one of the celebrities who used one. Gross. He's transphobic. I don't like him. Moving on. Our friend Neo, who's responsible for all of like the biggest hits in the last 10 years, used a rollator because he suffered an injury, and he was all smiles when he used the rollator. He actually went, it looks like in this photo, he went to an award show in the rollator. How cool is that? Axl Rose, another rock star, was spotted using the rollator because he had an injury. And there's a picture of him with Slash on stage using the rollator. Cool, amazing, here for it. Yes. Apparently he wasn't able to fly with the rollator. Axl Rose wasn't allowed to fly because apparently they weren't allowed, which makes no sense. I feel like that's wrong. And if they didn't allow him to fly with his rollator, that's a violation of many things. Weird. And also another rock great lead singer of the Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl, used a rollator when he broke his leg doing something. I'm sure he was like jumping off stage or being ridiculous, but there we go. Who else? Yeah, that's all the celebrities that I see at the moment who've used rollators. So if ever you are feeling like no one cool uses a rollator, just remember that the kid from Saved by the Bell used a rollator. And some of the rock greats of our time have used a rollator. So don't worry too much if you want to feel cool, just know that. Know that. Also, again, think of me as a 7-year-old in my walker with Michael Jackson blaring in a fedora. You know what I would love to see, just randomly while I'm thinking about it? I would love to see, you know how on like shows that where they showcase wheelchair users, like wheelchair dance troupes? Wouldn't it be cool if there was like a walker dance troupe? Is there a walker dance troupe? Is somebody who uses a walker in a dance troupe? Please tell me. I'd love to know if that's a thing. And if it's not a thing, we need to make it a thing. Because I would love to see like a choreographed dance routine with a bunch of walker users. That'd be really awesome. Like I said, this is going to be a comfy, cozy little episode. And that's a little bit of the history of the walker. I hope you love this one. It was really fun and cozy for me to do. Let me know by emailing me at andrew@andrewgrizzle.com. Let me know, A, if you want to be a guest, and B, what other kind of episodes around history of mobility aids that you'd like me to do. I saw when I was doing research for this one, I saw somebody talking about guide dogs, and I really would love to do another one like this around guide dogs. So you might be hearing that soon enough. Remember, if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/disabilityafterdark, and you'll get the show completely ad-free and days early for your pledge of as little as $1 a month up to $5 a month or more, if that works for your budget, as well as a yearly amount, if that works for your budget. So if you could support the show, I'd appreciate it. Please do so by going to patreon.com/disabilityafterdark or leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. Here's the outro. Bye, friends. All right, friends. Well, there goes another episode of Disability After Dark, the podcast shining a bright light on disability stories with me, your host, Andrew Gerza. If you want to follow my work, you can head over to my social media, AndrewGerza6 on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, although I never use it. If you want to follow my website and find out about my speaking opportunities, my gigs, and ways to have me come to your event, go to www.andrewgerza.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/disabilityafterdark, and you can get the show days early, completely ad-free, and a shout-out on the air. So if you want to support the show, you're able to do that. And please, please, leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. It really does help shows like this about disability, which are very rare, get supported. Thank you so much for being with us, and stay comfy, cozy, and crippled. Until next time, bye! Copyright notice. Disability After Dark was created, recorded, and produced by Cripple & Co. Productions and Andrew Gerza. Any and all use of materials, graphics, audio recordings, etc. cannot be used or distributed without express permission. If you would like to use an episode of the podcast or license an episode of the podcast on your website, please consider emailing Andrew Gerza and Cripple & Co. Productions at disabilityafterdarkpod@gmail.com. Copyright 2024.